Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, appropriately enough. My name is Michael Cutler. Good to join you at the end of the week to play that inevitable game of catch-up. Those of you familiar with me, familiar with my program, know that I'm a retired senior special agent with what used to be the Immigration and Naturalization Service. Pardon me. An agency that was ripped apart and reconstituted under the umbrella of the Department of Homeland Security, an agency that is so screwed up, so dysfunctional, so inept and incompetent by design that I have come to call DHS the Department of Homeland Surrender. But in any event, the men and women of ICE, of the Border Patrol, CBP, Customs Inspection, or Customs Protection, rather, the inspectors at ports of entry doing the job that I did for the first 4 years of my career with the former INS, all want to do a good job. They truly get it. They understand how failures of the agencies that employ them keep us at risk, keep them and their families at risk. So, you know, very often people blame the bureaucrats. There's a wonderful Yiddish expression that says that when the fish goes bad, it smells from the head. The rotted head of this government is devastating America and devastating the future of our citizens. And I think it is reflected in the general anger by the electorate that, as they say in that old Paddy Chayefsky movie Network, they're mad as hell and won't take it anymore. And you're seeing it in the polls. You're seeing it in the primaries. You're looking at Americans who have had it. And many of the politicians, frankly, still don't get it. And we'll get into that. We'll talk a little bit about the debate last night. I don't know if you watched it. I did. We're going to talk about a situation that has developed in Pennsylvania of a student, so-called, who claimed to be of high school age, who turned out to be 24 and not even an American, created his own fictitious identity. He's now in custody, but again, an alarm bell should be ringing somewhere saying, uh-oh, here we go again. But, of course, the slumbering idiots in Washington are probably more concerned with campaign contributions and, you know, going out there on the stump and trying to bamboozle people that they were elected to represent and protect. And, you know, whether you're a conservative or a liberal, an independent, it doesn't matter. All of us agree on one mission for the U.S. government. That mission, national security and public safety. Immigration is a fundamental component of that issue. It's a fundamental component of every issue just about. The idea that we now have millions of people inside the United States whose identities, whereabouts, intentions, and affiliations are unknown and unknowable. This is a state of affairs that is remarkable beyond words. It could almost be the topic for a comedy show, but the death of Americans, the destruction of our nation, and the termination of the American dream for Americans is not something anybody can laugh at. That's the purpose of my program. I've been at it ever since 9/11 to try to wake up our alleged leaders. Boy, and I use that term loosely, and I've been doing it more importantly, to wake up the people who are supposed to run this country, we the people. Citizen is the highest title that we have in our government. You wouldn't know it to listen to the imperious politicians, you know, the Barbara Boxers who took umbrage at the fact that a military commander called her ma'am instead of senator, indicating just how dense her gray matter between her ears must be. She was called ma'am, and that wasn't good enough. You know, if you referred to anybody as sir, nobody would take umbrage. But Barbara Boxer, God bless her, this happened a few years ago, but I can't get that image out of my head, listening to her chastise a military commander and her telling him, "Do you know what I had to do to get here? Yeah, you had to persuade a lot of gullible people to vote for you by spending tons of money that probably wasn't even your own, Babs. That's what you had to do." I mean, it has to end. And I think the American people want the lunacy to end, and that's what this upcoming election is about. Again, if you're familiar with me, you know about my website, michaelcutler.net. I've also been very proud to write for an organization out in beautiful downtown Santa Barbara, California, Californians for Population Stabilization. Their terrific website, capsweb.org, C-A-P-S. I recently wrote an article for CAPS, and I have another one that will be posted, I believe, this weekend, if I have my information correct. So please go to that website. And I'm only one of many people who write for them. My beat, as it were, is immigration. They have many experts in many areas. And on a daily basis, day-to-day basis, there's fresh material on the website. So I suggest that you go to capsweb.org routinely and regularly, as I would urge you to do with Front Page magazine, because I also write for Front Page. But I wrote an article for capsweb.org a couple of weeks ago, wherein, and I don't have it in front of me, but I'm paraphrasing the title of my article, that warrants of deportation, warrants of removal, are the equivalent of orders of protection for the United States. You know, the tired old lie that we keep on hearing, oh my God, if you arrest all these undocumented people, you're going to be splitting up families. You know, we heard it from Kasich. And, you know, I don't know if he doesn't get it. He seems like a very bright guy. He spent many years on Capitol Hill as a member of Congress. He's a governor. So you would think he gets it. But, you know, I've never sat down across the table from him. I'd love that opportunity to say to him, "Governor, what in the world are you thinking about?" You know, first of all, there's been a lot of criticism for anchor babies, this whole business about the 14th Amendment and whether children born to illegal alien parents should be granted citizenship at birth. And I am, given all the circumstances, convinced that this should be brought to a screeching halt. Whether it will take an act of Congress, whether it's a matter of an administration, we've got to do something. Because what we are doing is creating one of the most incredible inducements for aliens to run our borders, give birth to children here, who then are in the position to bring their parents into the United States when these children turn 21. This is crazy stuff. We do not have a shortage of people. We do not have a shortage of workers. I mean, it's astonishing. And I just read an article, and the growing threat to the American workforce isn't only foreign workers, but it's robots. I mean, this notion that we need an army of workers is evaporating. 100 years ago, yes, everything America did was labor intensive. If you look at the photos, the videos, the movies of the old Model T Ford assembly line, it was labor intensive. You know, hundreds upon hundreds, perhaps thousands of workers moving the car along that production line, which is a revolutionary thought pioneered in America. And by the way, if you believe in American exceptionalism, then the world's best and brightest are already here. We don't need to import the best and brightest, like Gates, one of the chief crooks of the 20th century, claims. I mean, this is a guy who simply wants cheap labor. Talking when he went before Congress about 10 years ago, we're chasing away the best and brightest. And, of course, his words were parroted by Greenspan. The world's best and brightest are called Americans. But if you look at those images of that production line and the Ford motor cars being pushed down that line, from one worker to the next, and each one adding another part. One guy put in a door, one guy put in the engine, you know, the lights and so forth. Labor intensive. Go to the Science Channel, how it's made. Go to some of the other programs, and they show you how cars are manufactured. Instead of dark, dingy, filthy, grease-laden factories that we see with the Model T Ford, it was, you know, dull and dingy. Of course, the fact that it was filmed in black and white doesn't help either. But if you look at the way that cars today are manufactured, Yes, there are many auto workers working on the assembly line, but so many of the jobs are now done by robots, and increasingly, robots are taking up more and more and more of the positions on that assembly line. We don't need that army of workers. This is lunacy, okay? So that's an item that we really need to understand. But on top of everything else, what we have done in America, and I believe by design, because politicians are accepting the bribes known as campaign contributions, is doing everything possible to flood the labor market with a limitless supply of cheap foreign labor, and not just from Mexico. And so therein lies that very big problem. The immigration system lacks integrity to meet the demands of corporations, to meet the demands of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And therein is the problem that I have. And we're so willing to do it that the politicians pose these fake arguments. We're going to split up families, Kasich, that was his war cry. And we've heard it from the others. We're going to split up the families. We've heard it from the so-called journalists. So let's go back to the 14th Amendment and consider something. A child born in the United States to an alien parent who's here illegally, at least as of today, is a U.S. citizen. Under the immigration laws of the United States, no American citizen can be denied entry into the United States of America, period, under any circumstances. Some countries will tell their citizens, if you stay out more than a certain number of years, we're going to strip you of your citizenship. It doesn't happen here. Somebody can be born in America. They could go back to the country of their parents 3 weeks later, and then they can come back when they're 30 with a U.S. passport. They register here in the United States, they go to the embassy, they get a passport, and they're welcomed with open arms when they land back in America 30 years later. There is absolutely no provision for not permitting a United States citizen to return to the United States. So if a woman gives birth to a child here in the United States, that child is an American citizen, absolutely, but that child is also a dual national, because the country of citizenship of the parent will recognize that child born in America as being a citizen of the parent's country. So the parents are free to take the child back with them to raise the child in their home country, or, because the child is American, they can arrange to have the child cared for by friends or relatives in the United States. They can have the child fly back home or go back home, however they want to do it, on a regular basis. You know, it's Christmas, it's Hanukkah, it's whatever holiday, it's the birthday, it's the parents' anniversary. Fly the child back, spend a week or two with the child, bring the child back to the United States. There's nothing that says you have to split up the family. And let's remember, the parent who came here did not make a wrong turn and somehow wind up in America. They didn't make a left when they should have made a right, and oops, I'm in America. No, we're talking about people who willfully came here and violated our laws. And it was remarkable that during the debate, a couple of the candidates made it clear. This business about DACA, and Rubio's answer I don't buy at all, I have to tell you. I'm not being partisan. But at some point, we have to end DACA, was what he originally said, at some point. I'm going to read something shortly. The folks who represent the ICE agents and the adjudicators at Citizenship and Immigration Services are not supporting Rubio. They believe that if he was to be elected, it would be a continuation of the Obama immigration disaster. Let's never forget that Rubio was part of the eight gangsters. He stood shoulder to shoulder with Harry Reid and Chuck Schumer and Lindsey Graham and all the others, concocting comprehensive immigration reform. And when there was a press conference, the president of the ICE union attended the press conference, attempted to ask a question, and was escorted out of that press conference, was not allowed to speak. And the report was that Rubio said, oh, he's just a union guy, or words to that effect. He is the representative of the federal agents who enforce our nation's immigration laws, just some union guy. Wow. This is madness. You see, everybody in that room that was invited by Mr. Rubio and the other seven gangsters were open border advocates. This goes back to Doris Meisner when she was our commissioner back when I was an agent, who said we need to be customer-oriented at the old INS. But the problem is, while I agree about being customer-oriented, she and the Gang of Eight, including Mr. Rubio, believe that their customers are illegal aliens, not the American citizens of the United States. Our immigration laws were enacted to do two primary things: protect innocent lives and the jobs of American workers. And there's all kinds of crazy things that have been done by Congress because the stakeholders, when they had stakeholder meetings under the Obama administration, and even when Doris Meisner was lurking around, the stakeholders were the immigration lawyers, the corporations that want to hire the illegal aliens, the advocacy groups for the illegal aliens. You know who was missing? There was nobody there representing we the people, and there was nobody there representing the employees of immigration who had to enforce and administer the laws. We were locked out. Our word didn't matter. They could care less. We are speed bumps on their mad dash to destroy our borders and destroy our national security. That's what they've done. So when they listen to Mr. Rubio talking about, well, you know, we can't do this and we can't do that. Just a couple of months ago, it was a very clear statement, and I know what he did when the ICE union president wanted to be heard, wanted to talk about his fears about national security. And in case you think he's being paranoid or crazy, you know, the 9/11 Commission staff report on terrorist travel included a quote, and I'm splitting it in half, but you can go back to my articles where I give you the full statement. And basically, what they said was, although there is evidence that some land and sea border entries of terrorists without inspection occurred, these conspirators, the terrorists, mainly subverted the legal entry system by entering at airports. Thus, abuse of the immigration system and a lack of interior immigration enforcement were unwittingly working together to support terrorist activity. I included the full quote in my recent article for Front Page Magazine, Our Inability to Confront Our Immigration Crisis. Actually, my editor changed the title slightly, and I don't blame him. I understand what he was doing. But the point is, when I say inability, it's an inability that was created by the politicians. We lack the will. My mom, may she rest in peace, used to say, where there's a will, there's a way. There is no will. That's why they will find no way to get the job done. And Rubio knows this, and that's why he keeps on insisting, first we're going to secure the border. First we're going to secure the border. What we need is meaningful interior enforcement. You know, one of the things that most people don't know, and I'm going to share this with you, I went to Border Patrol Academy when I was hired by the old INS. Immigration and the Border Patrol were inseparable. It makes sense. But the Border Patrol has always been, for decades, the driving force behind immigration enforcement. And you may not believe this, you may disagree with me, but hear me out. That has been one of the worst decisions ever made, to permit the Border Patrol to run immigration policy, because it has put a laser focus on the U.S.-Mexican border and, to a lesser extent, the Canadian border. And look, I agree, those borders have got to be made secure. It's not that I'm saying that we don't need a Border Patrol. We absolutely need a Border Patrol, and we absolutely need to make certain that people go through the inspections process conducted at ports of entry. But there's far more to immigration than that. Much, much more than that. Nearly half of all illegal aliens don't run our border but come through ports of entry. In fact, well over half of all aliens who enter the United States on temporary visas, what we call non-immigrants, don't even have visas anymore because we've expanded this insane visa waiver program. We have 26 visa waiver countries on 9/11. We're up to 38 such countries now. even after the 9/11 Commission said the visa process is flawed. You need to tighten it up because it's with visas that the terrorists enter the United States. But because of the pressure exerted by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and I've spoken about this many times on my program here, I've addressed this issue when I've gone before Congress. I've addressed this issue when I've been on other radio programs and television programs. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is the force behind the expansion of the visa waiver program. That program should have ended the morning after 9/11. It took George W. Bush until August of 2002, nearly a full year, to suspend transit without visa. That should have ended, period, also. This is what is happening now. Corporations are driving our law enforcement and immigration policies. We're seeing it now with Apple and the issue of getting into the terrorist's iPhone. Look, I'm a very strong supporter of privacy. Ben Franklin was right. If you're willing to give up your privacy for free for security, you'll have neither. But we are in a very dangerous era where terrorists have the capability to kill thousands of people at a single innocent people in our country at a single shot, in a single incident, 9/11. And so while I want the privacy of our phones to be respected, I want to make certain that in a crisis, our people can gain access to the information. And it's not just iPhones. I can tell you there are so many ways that the bad guys have been able to communicate and stay below the radar. And they all worry me. These are my nightmares that keep me awake at night, and it's most nights, frankly, that I don't sleep these days because I know just how perilous this era is. But when we start to allow corporations to make national security decisions for our country, we're in deep trouble. Half joking and half seriously, I've said that the funeral home industry, and it is a multi-billion dollar industry, God only knows, maybe the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is trying to drum up business for the funeral directors because the decisions that they are making and then forcing on the politicians through campaign contributions are getting Americans killed. Absolutely they are. This is madness. This is self-destructive. It's anti-American. We're destroying the wage structure of American jobs. I was astonished to hear Ted Cruz actually talk about it yesterday. I have very serious issues with Cruz, and I have issues about doubting his sincerity. But he nailed it yesterday when he said that, you know, yes, if you hire people who are here legally, the price of wages will go up, and you may have to pay a little bit more, but taxes will go down because then these folks will be within the legal system and so forth. And that's right. And that's right. This idea that we're going to suppress inflation and maximize profits by undermining our immigration laws is the betrayal of American workers. That's the reason I'm a Democrat and not a Republican. It goes back to my days as a kid. My pop was a construction worker, a tradesman. He was a plumber, and, you know, he went through a five-year apprenticeship program, and I remember how tough he and his buddies in the construction trades have it. And I certainly want people who own businesses to have every opportunity to be successful and realize their dreams and make a profit, but I want to make certain that the people who work for them and also breathe life into the dreams of the owners of the factories and the CEOs are treated fairly. You know, the analogy that I love to use is if you think back to the Second World War and you think about D-Day, that bloody day when so many Allied troops were wounded and killed. Certainly the generals, Eisenhower and his British counterparts, they came up with a brilliant plan, and it was D-Day, Operation Overlord. Without their brilliance, without their leadership, God only knows what would have happened. God only knows how the war would have ended. So D-Day was the turning point, and it took the brilliance of our generals just as it takes smart people in industry to make it happen. But if they did not have those soldiers who were willing to give up their lives on that beach, all the brilliance in the world wouldn't have mattered. You needed the soldiers willing to give it their all, and some of them really did. So let's have balance to this business, folks. Let's respect all of us as Americans. This is a team effort. Not everybody can be the pitcher on the baseball team. You know, every once in a while, that shortstop, that first baseman, the guy in left field, they make all the difference. and they're not on the mound. You know, this idea that if you own a company, you know, I'm going to make my profit over all other concerns is how we get ourselves into trouble. People that own businesses hate regulations, but stop and think about it. It's because of unscrupulous business people who did some really bad things that regulations are enacted. If you want to talk about the Love Canal and the toxins dumped into that canal and how many children were made sick by the poisons and the exploding Pinto, we'll go down this whole list. I'm not going to do it tonight. But it was unbridled greed that caused people to react. Labor unions and the Labor Department were an outgrowth of the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire over 100 years ago. You know, cramming all those young immigrant women into a factory in hellish conditions. And I raided sweatshops as an immigration agent when I was brand new, before the sweatshops went to Malaysia and elsewhere, Bangladesh, where the conditions are even worse. And I'll tell you, some of those factories reminded me of hell, you know. Go in there during the summer. The windows are open about 3 inches at the top. There's dust flying everywhere, and the presses are going full tilt. There's no air conditioning, just fans on these big, tall sticks blowing filthy air around, and the temperature's 120 degrees. Wow, what a great way to work. And that's why they call them sweatshops. When you treat people that way, expect that at some point someone's going to make you accountable. We need to pull together. This greed that's being driven by the Gates and the Zuckerbergs of the world is outrageous. It's outrageous. Certainly we need to be productive and we need to be successful. And I get the idea of keeping down costs. But in order to get to that cheap labor, you're destroying the wage structure for Americans. You're destroying national security. And by leaving the borders open, we have a flood of heroin, a flood of cocaine, a flood of gangsters, and terrorists, and that's where the violence is coming from, and that's how we're running up a deficit that is eating this country alive. We have to stop. We are going the wrong way on a one-way street. And so when politicians can say, well, we can't split up the families, and we have to do this, and we have to, no, listen. How many families in America have been split up because a loved one has been killed? How many of those families are immigrant families? You know, it's anti-immigrant to enforce the immigration laws. Let me tell you, it's pro-enforcement. And if you're pro-enforcement, you're pro-immigrant. Because we admit more lawful immigrants than the rest of the world combined. Over 1 million a year. We naturalize hundreds of thousands of new citizens every year under the laws that I support, under the laws that, in point of fact, I enforced and administered for my 30-year career. How in the world can I be anti-immigrant when I support our immigration laws? Our opponents are not pro-immigrant. That nonsense has got to stop. They are anarchists. They are anti-American. They oppose national security. You cannot have national security when you have millions of people floating around the country. Just 19 terrorists on 9/11 killed more people than the Japanese Navy killed at Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. So let's get over it. Let's stop the BS. And in fact, I'm writing an article about this misuse of language and everything else under the sun. And I talked about some of this in my recent article for Front Page Magazine, where I said that skewed polls are skewering Americans. You know, we get, and I'd love for you to go read the article. I got a lot of feedback, which pleases me. You know, just writing these articles, you get a couple of bucks for the article, but believe me, it's nothing to write home about. This is a labor of love. Having lived through 9/11, having spent half of my 30-year career on the drug task force, having testified at the murder trial of a dirtbag who killed a 24-year-old New York City police officer, who I had physically deported. I deported this criminal from Panama. And he came back, and because of New York sanctuary policies under Mayor Ed Koch, and those policies continued under Rudy Giuliani and Bloomberg, and I don't even want to talk about dumb Blasio, who's giving hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens identity documents. These policies are getting people killed, because the killer of this police officer had been arrested twice by the New York City Police Department. And if they had only told us we got him, we would have picked him up. It's a felony, not a minor deal. And especially criminal aliens today are looking at 20 years in jail maximum for unlawful reentry. That's a law that I'm proud of because I worked with Senator D'Amato and a bunch of my other colleagues and a former boss of mine who became my mentor, recently passed away, Walter Connery. We pulled together to make that law happen. I had approached D'Amato with the idea. He said, if you can get me some of your colleagues to substantiate what you're telling me, I'm willing to work with you. And that's what I did. So if they had told us we got this guy, we would have run down there, we would have cuffed him, put him before a magistrate, prosecuted him, he would have done jail time, we would have deported him. But instead, because of sanctuary policies in New York, he was shielded by the local authorities. The cops could not tell us they had him in custody twice. And the third time certainly was not a charm. Officer Robert Machado was killed. His wife was pregnant with his daughter that he never got to meet. And by a wacky, bizarre set of circumstances, I met her one day. 20 years later, she was working in the supermarket near my house. I spotted the miniature badge, asked her who her father was. We had this conversation, and then to my horror, I realized this was Officer Machado's daughter. This isn't victimless. And so when you have immigration people asking to be heard, this is America, the First Amendment, asking to be heard at an open, and we're going to emphasize it again, open press conference, and Mr. Rubio was on that stage, and they wouldn't let the ICE union chief speak. He was escorted out, and everybody in the audience stood up and cheered and booed and made all kinds of noises. It was feeding time at the zoo. Why? Because an immigration agent who was very much concerned about national security was thrown out of a meeting by the Gang of Eight, of which Mr. Rubio was a part. I could never, ever vote for this guy. If it came down to him and Hillary, I hate to say it, folks, I'd have to sit out the election and then hope that Hillary goes to jail, so we'll see where we go from there. Look, I've had it. I have had it with the nonsense. Simply voting for someone because he's a part of a particular party or not part of another party doesn't do it. I have campaigned for conservative candidates when I felt they were doing the right thing. John Hostetler, who used to chair the House Immigration Subcommittee, he was a congressman from Indiana. I went to Indiana and campaigned for him for 3 days. I was happy to do it. It was a privilege. I've campaigned for other conservatives. I don't care about left or right. And the politicians are saying, well, I'm more conservative. He's less conservative. He's more progressive. Nobody cares. We ought to be caring. Are they pro-American? That's what I want to hear, pro-American. Do you put American citizens ahead of everybody else? And no, that's not xenophobia. That's common sense. When you have children, you've got to be an idiot to give all your money to charity and then let your own children go to bed hungry at night. That's not good parenting. And if you did that as a parent, and if child welfare authorities found out about it, they would probably take your kids from you, and rightfully so. Oh, you have no compassion. Why does compassion never involve Americans? One in four American children now lives below the poverty line. It's not compassionate to be concerned about American children. It's not compassionate to look at the riots in some of those cities and understand what's been done to America's minorities by the immigration policies, stripping the potential for jobs out of the equation. You know, when Bill Clinton first became president, we heard a lot about job fair. When was the last time you heard about job fair to get Americans off of welfare and working? That doesn't happen anymore. They don't want Americans to work, you see. So they've created every possible incentive, including the way that Obamacare is structured. Aliens given permission to work are not covered by Obamacare. So right there and then, an employer who hires some alien with lawful status saves $3,000 for the year for that employee, because that employee is not covered by Obamacare. The system has been intentionally rigged to make damn sure that Americans don't get the jobs. That's what's happening right now. And if you look at the polls, here's what they do. I got a poll a couple of days ago by email, just before I wrote the article, which is what really set me off. And purportedly it was from the GOP. Whoopee. And the poll was, what is your biggest concern? And they gave you like four or five issues. Is it the threat of terrorism? Is it unemployment and the American economy? Is it health care? Is it education? Is it immigration? Now, here's the kicker. You can only pick one. What does that poll even tell anybody? So let's think about this. If, and this is the point the 9/11 Commission made, and it's a point that I made when I testified before the 9/11 Commission, when I provided testimony to the 9/11 Commission. If we could have kept the terrorists out of the country, there would have been no attack because they wouldn't have been there, so they couldn't have attacked us. But if you say, I'm concerned about the next terrorist attack, and you click on that, immigration evaporates along with all the other issues. So then they go on TV and they say, well, when surveys are conducted, 80% of Americans are concerned mostly about the threat of terrorism. Immigration came in 19. Wow. That poll is an outrage because they then take those BS findings and parade them all over the TV. And, you know, there's a wonderful program. If you read the article, I gave some links called Brain Games. They show how people are, how, you know, the bandwagon approaches. When you load up a bunch of people in a supposed objective survey and, you know, everybody but one person is really in on it and they all pick the wrong answer, most people will go with the crowd even though they know the answer is wrong. You know, what line looks closest in length to the other line? And everybody purposely picks the wrong one. And when they get to this last person on the end of the line, the person says, gee, I thought it was line A, but everybody picked line C, so I'm going to go with line C. We're, you know, part of a herd. Conform. You're taught to conform from day one, right? Think about the clothing that we buy. It stresses conformity. Everything we do, you're supposed to conform. Behaviorally, if you're in class, we can't have chaos. If you have a question, raise your hand. You're taught from day one to conform or else. And that lesson stays with us. And animals tend to be conformists. You know, it's the pack, the herd instinct. Wherever the herd's going, I'm going. So they publish the poll, and now people listen to that, and they say, oh, you know, I thought immigration was a problem, but really, most people think it's terrorism. Yeah, I guess it is terrorism. If you would stop and think about it and look at the 9/11 Commission report, you would realize that it was failures of the immigration system that enabled terrorists to enter the United States and embed themselves. But this pick an answer or rate in the order of significance, it's still meaningless. And then they reinforce this nonsense about the Latino vote. And I've talked about it before, but I have to talk a little bit about it again. And I'm probably going to write a follow-up article about the polls and this mythical Latino vote. How does this affect Latinos? Why are they different? Are they Martians? Is this not a disgusting form of profiling? You mean, if your last name is Rodriguez, you don't care about terrorism? If your name is Rodriguez, you don't care about narcotics and crime? And a point of fact, if you're worried about the gangs, look at the ethnic immigrant communities. And it's not just the Latino community, which again goes back to this nonsense about the U.S.-Mexico border, which goes back again to the Border Patrol. Why was it that immigration agents went to the Border Patrol Academy, not the Immigration Academy? Right, the FBI has several divisions: counterterrorism, and counterintelligence, and the criminal division. FBI agents go to the FBI Academy. Why was it that immigration agents went to Border Patrol Academy? Now it's a little bit different. But when I hired on, you went to Border Patrol Academy. The emphasis has always been on the Mexican border. That's nuts. Because once you get past the border, and these folks are able to make their way to the interior of the country, the Border Patrol isn't going to do anything about it. It's the agents. And when these people get involved in a marriage fraud and file an application to get a green card based on being married to an American, it's up to the adjudications officers to decide whether or not to grant that person a green card. And again, if you had enough agents who can go out and do the investigations, if it turns out that the person really isn't living with that spouse, a felony's been committed, You can certainly deport the alien and perhaps prosecute people that have arranged the marriage, if not the participants in the marriage, and charge them with conspiracy to commit fraud. What does that have to do with the Border Patrol? This narrow-minded focus, the border, has gotten us into this mess. Immigration is a system with many moving parts. And again, I have nothing but respect for my brethren over in the Border Patrol. And I'm always happy to get down to the border. I've been there a bunch of times. The agents are always happy to see me. I'm happy to see them, and I'm happy to sit down and grab a meal with them, and it's always a privilege. You know, we carried basically the same badge. The lettering was different, but the shape of the badge and everything was the same because we were part of the same umbrella. And along comes DHS, and they split us up. CBP becomes separate from ICE, and now ICE has another division. They're calling it HSI, Homeland Security Investigations, to get immigration out of the word. Don't even think this has anything to do with immigration. This is where we've gone. The lunacy is beyond anything I understand. And so I look at the polls, I look at how they're skewed, and I made the point in my article that if somebody is running from a rabid mob, because you're running in front of the mob doesn't mean you're leading the mob, it means you're running for your life. That's not leadership. Most of the politicians who are out there are running from the mob. They're not leading the mob. They're scared to death. And those are the waffles. Those are the back and forth. Well, I supported it yesterday, but I didn't support it today, but maybe next Thursday we'll take another poll. We'll take another survey. Madness. Madness. So please understand the problem. When someone like a Rubio can sit by and allow the president of the union that represents the ICE agents who took an oath, they've sworn to uphold our immigration laws and protect our nation, and you could sit on that stage and then make the crack, oh, he's just a union guy, you will never get my vote. I don't care who you're running against. At the very best, I will sit out the election. I will sit out the election before I throw the lever for Mr. Rubio. And you know what? The union has basically said the same thing. And I know that conservatives, when they hear unions, they freak out. Law enforcement unions are very different. Law enforcement unions are there to protect law enforcement officers. And in this day and age, with what this administration has done, supporting law enforcement has never been more important. Hillary Clinton, according to an article I read, actually showed up somewhere with five people whose family members were purportedly killed by police. I don't know what the circumstances were, but I can tell you, if you look at the statistics, far more kids in the inner city are killed by other members of minority groups than they are by police, by a margin of, like, I don't know what it is, but it's astronomical. It's a continuation of the policies that are generating anarchy. This is about anarchy. This is madness. And so there's so much going on. This is a three-ring circus. And what you should know is that by the admission of all these children into the country, these unaccompanied minors, they have flooded the courts. We only have a couple of hundred immigration judges. If an ICE agent actually arrested an illegal alien tomorrow, that alien would probably not get to see an immigration judge, are you ready for this, folks? For 2 years. During that time, it's unlikely that the alien will be taken into custody. That alien will be floating around out there, committing crimes, perhaps, maybe engaging in a marriage fraud, perhaps. So they get married, they walk into the hearing, and they say, Your Honor, while I was waiting to see you, you know, a funny thing happened to me on the way to court. You know that old Broadway show, and it was a movie, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum? A funny thing happened on my way to immigration court. In the 2 years I've been sitting here waiting to see you, I got married, and now I want a green card. That's what's happening. So when people say we need E-Verify, yeah, we do. But you know what? If there's no agents, and if there's no judges, and if there's no detention facilities, it doesn't much matter. Immigration is much like an airplane. I compare a secure Mexican border with the wing on an airplane. Without the wing, the airplane won't fly, but a wing by itself sits on the runway and goes nowhere. If you could make the U.S.-Mexican border 100% impassable, if you could develop the Starship Enterprise deflector shield and put that sucker on the Mexican border and say, that's it, not even a mosquito can get across that border. With the Zika virus, that might not be a bad thing. We're still going to have an immigration crisis. So understand, this is a system with many, many moving parts, and we need to talk about one of those moving parts. There was a news report that just came out within the past, oh, I guess it's past 24 hours, 48 hours. And so here's the story. Bear with me one second. There's a Ukrainian man, 23 years old, by the name of Artur Samarin, A-R-T-U-R. It's kind of like Arthur minus the H, Artur Samarin, came to the United States on a visa 4 years ago, roughly, 3.5 years ago, 2012. Overstayed the visa, created a false identity for himself in the name of Asher Potts, P-O-T-T-S. You can look this up. So Asher Potts goes and attends a high school in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He was inducted into the National Honor Society. He was part of the ROTC program. He was on his way to the military. He had a 4.16 index. I don't know how you do better than a 4.0. He had an exemplary record. He was part of the student council. He was almost the homecoming king. He wasn't just low profile going to class and keeping his nose to the ground and kind of, you know. And meanwhile, he's 5 years older than the average graduate, 23 years of age. Somehow, his duplicitous conduct, his crime of identity theft and fraud was discovered. He's now sitting in jail, arrested by local cops, not by immigration. And immigration says, We're tracking this. Tracking what? With a bloodhound? Do you know how dangerous this is? He claimed that his goal was to work for NASA. And there was an article that came out in the local paper. They quote some immigration lawyer who said, well, maybe he's running from the war. You know, people who do this are running from the war. And the reporter rightfully pointed out what happened in San Bernardino with that young lady with the K-1 visa who killed all those people. He's running from the war. For all we know, and I don't know anything about this guy, and I'm just speculating, he might be, in fact, someone who should have applied for asylum and somehow didn't. He might be a lot of things. But did it ever dawn on anybody that it might have been his goal to embed himself in our country waiting for a phone call telling him tomorrow's the day? I mean, I don't know what this guy is up to. God only knows. And look how easy it was for him, not just to come here, but he's out there. There are pictures in the newspapers of him getting an award from the state representative. He's all over the newspapers with his fake ID. He had a driver's license. He had a Social Security card, all legitimate documents. So when you hear the politicians saying, well, we have to process these people and give them lawful status. Folks, madness. We naturalized Faisal Shahzad, the Times Square bomber. Okay? The guy came here on a student visa at the age of 20. Ray Kelly, the New York City police commissioner, at the time, this is 6 years ago, identified Faisal Shahzad as a classic example of a homegrown terrorist. Never mind, he came here when he was 20 years old on a student visa from Pakistan. The lies just keep on coming. I met Ray Kelly. He's a smart guy. He had been the head of customs. And before that, he was originally started out as the police commissioner here in New York City. He'd been in the Marine Corps. This is not some dummy. And the New York City Police Department is one of the most sophisticated in the world. You know, the police department actually has their detectives assigned overseas doing work that largely parallels what the FBI and the CIA do. working with other law enforcement agencies across the ocean to try to develop the intel so that we're not caught flat-footed if there's another attempt to carry out an attack in New York City. So that department, with over 35,000 members, it's a small army, folks. You think the commissioner is that stupid? There is a narrative. There is a narrative. And under no circumstances are you allowed to say anything that might cause people to wonder, is this an immigration issue? Because that's the issue. Is this an immigration issue? And so they obfuscate the truth. They spew all the nonsense. And now we're being told that ICE is tracking the case. Tracking what? You see, if ICE had done its job and didn't allow him to remain in the country illegally, he would have been scooped up and deported. And by the way, if he had a legitimate claim for asylum, and forgive me, I don't remember if the deadline is 6 months or a year, and I believe it's a year, but I don't want to get it wrong. I'm very careful about my facts. As long as that alien shows up within that time frame and says, I need political asylum, I have a credible fear, that alien could be allowed to stay here. That's what we did with the Tsarnaev brothers. The problem is there's no integrity to the system. So the Tsarnaev brothers, who attacked the Boston Marathon, had been granted political asylum along with the rest of their family. They were granted green cards, even though they went back to Russia. If you're claiming credible fear, what you're saying is I can never go home because I'm going to face persecution or worse. So we give them lawful status and they go home. There was no regime change. Do you think maybe it's obvious they lied? And one of the two Tsarnaev brothers was actually granted United States citizenship months before the attack, just like Faisal Shahzad, the Times Square bomber. And in fact, in the case of Shahzad, when he was sentenced for setting off the car bomb that thankfully went fizzle instead of kaboom and nobody was hurt, the judge said, you know, you just became an American. You took an oath. And he looked the judge square in the eye and said, yes, I did. I lied. I took a false oath. I don't want your freedom. I have Sharia, and Sharia gives me all the freedom I need. Now, they're supposed to conduct a good moral character into any alien that applies for citizenship. I'd love to see what the report of the investigation looks like. What did that report look like? How many neighbors do you think they interviewed? Or do you think maybe they didn't even bother with the investigation at all? Because somehow I have a sneaky feeling that if they had knocked on some doors and asked people about this guy Faisal Shahzad, somebody might have known something about him, or maybe not. But I would love to see that investigation. The guy who stood there smugly telling the judge who just sentenced him to spend the rest of his miserable existence in a cage where he belongs, I took a false oath. What kind of investigations are we doing if false oaths don't set off bells? What are we doing? What are we doing? We strip search kids getting on airplanes or being subjected to radiation to get on board an airplane. But we're giving citizenship to foreign nationals who come from parts of the world where terrorism is an issue, and increasingly all parts of the world is an issue, because we have like-minded imbeciles running many of the governments around the world. I mean, look at Merkel over in Germany telling German women it's their fault if they get, abused, groped, or raped by the Middle Eastern refugees because they're too pretty. They look too good. Maybe they should go to plastic surgeons and have their faces scarred up or something. Maybe they should be eating a lot more Twinkies and ice cream so they develop a belly so maybe they won't be so pretty. Why doesn't she say that? I mean, the lunacy. The lunacy in Germany. It's not just this country. We have leaders out there, and I don't know whose music they're dancing to, but this is not good music. People are being injured, they're being killed, they're being assaulted, our way of life is under attack, and we're being told that if we don't march lockstep with these suicidal politicians that we're xenophobic. This is crazy. I'm the son of an immigrant. My mom came here ahead of the Holocaust. My grandmother died in Poland. I don't want to close the door on the world. but I also am careful who I let into my house. That's why we have peepholes and door locks on our front door to make certain that nobody gets in that's going to pose a threat to our safety. Why is it too much to ask that our government does the same for us? And that was essentially what the president of the ICE Union was going to probably tell DeRubio, who sat on stage and watched this guy get escorted out of the building because, God forbid, he might ask Mr. Rubio and Mr. Schumer and the other lames up there a question about what they were doing and do they understand that they're undermining national security. I've tried to get members of Congress to raise the issue of how the 9/11 Commission made it clear that first and foremost, 9/11 was the result of failures of the immigration system. And the only member of Congress who does it as a matter of routine is a good friend of mine. I'm proud to call him a friend, and his name is Lou Barletta, and he's a congressman from Hazleton, Pennsylvania, who used to be the mayor of Hazleton. And as mayor, he was shocked and horrified to find out that a Dominican drug gang has nothing to do with the Mexican border. A Dominican drug gang had moved into his very quiet, bucolic community in the foothills of the Pennsylvania mountains. It used to be a coal mining town. And they were selling drugs, and they had committed several homicides. They hadn't had a murder there in years. And when he went to the Bush White House, he was told to go to see the people at Justice. And the Justice Department basically said to him, you're on your own, but have a mug with a badge on it. So he enacted his own immigration ordinances that paralleled the federal laws. He was immediately sued. I was Lou's final witness at the federal trial. That's how I know Lou. And he's tried to do a good job. But why is it that when I've asked other members of Congress, if you're that concerned, why don't you raise the fact that failures to enforce our immigration laws not only violate common sense, not only are destructive to the jobs and wage structure of hardworking Americans, but it violates the findings of the 9/11 Commission. Because they don't want anybody to understand just how significant this is. During the last election cycle, with all the clamoring to have immigration talked about, one question was asked at one debate. Finally, they can't let the cat out of the sack, and they can't keep the cat in the sack, rather. It's out of the sack, so they got to deal with it. But look at the way they cover it. You know, there was a time when I could have done 15 interviews in a month on the various TV networks. They don't want those interviews done that way, with the exception of One American News Network and Newsmax. I've become something of a regular on the Graham Ledger program over at One American News. Dennis Michael Lynch, the guy that did the documentary over at Newsmax, DML Unfiltered, has had me on a number of times to talk about immigration. But by and large, the politicians and the news media are still trying to shove the immigration issue under the rug. Keep it out of public view. Don't realize what we're dealing with. And so when there's a whole bit of confusion about why Donald Trump is resonating, just think about it. The Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden, actually said that we needed to apologize to the former President of Mexico, Vicente Fox, who said that when Trump said that Mexico will build the wall, he used the F word and said, I'm not paying for that effing wall. And Biden said that we should apologize to Mexico. Goodness gracious. Folks, I thank you so much for joining me today on February 26th, the anniversary of the attacks of 1993 at the Trade Center. Please stay with me next week at the same time. Come on back. And please also remember that democracy is not a spectator sport. We need to get involved. Please go to the town hall meetings. Read the articles I've talked about. I hope you find them interesting. Make our politicians accountable, because as I always like to point out, folks, democracy is not a spectator sport. Again, go to capsweb.org, Front Page Magazine, and most certainly, michaelcutler.net. See you next week.